Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, actor Mark Tyke talks about getting stabbed in Santa Monica.
And I have my right hand on his chest, and I reach out to her, and I say, everybody calm down. I'll get you some drink tickets. Everything's going to be fine. And then everything, like car wreck slow-mo happens. All of a sudden, I see my hand, and I see something go into my hand and something come out of my hand. She's pulled out a 7.5-inch switchblade out of her purse, stabbed me through my hand and probably into that guy's chest.
Today on the show, actor Mark Tyke talks about getting stabbed in Santa Monica, California. Stay close.
Hey, my name is Mark Tyke, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, if you're a new listener, you got a lot of catching up to do, I'll tell you that. But either way, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with comedian Dustin Nickerson. Dustin, Mark, this guy, comedian, lives in San Diego. He just put out a comedy special that he made during the pandemic.
I like it.
And it's really impressive because he had a lot to deal with. You know, obviously, you know, the social distancing, they were on a rooftop, there's planes going over, there's the light is not good. The audience is in masks. You can't hear them laughing. They all had to have a COVID test. Anyway, a lot of complications, but as you know, comedians get a lot of ingenuity around this time. And so people are doing some really cool stuff. So go back, you guys, listen to Dustin Nickerson, also just a really nice guy. Go back, listen to Dustin Nickerson from last week, but not today, because today we're here with actor Mark Tyke. And Mark, you've done stand-up as well, haven't you?
I have. I did a lot of, well, we did stand-up. My comedy partner and I, he's a guy named Stephen Lynch. And we used to just kind of sing and make up dirty songs at theater parties in college. And that turned into a career for both of us. And it's culminated into multiple gold records and Comedy Central specials and world tours. And it was a lot of fun. I think we did the songs on stage because we were afraid of just doing stand up. You know, we knew at least we could sing.
So you actually went all the way on the world with this little act?
It's crazy. If you go down the Stephen Lynch Mark Tyke rabbit hole, you will see all of these crazy things. We've been everywhere. All these places where you forget as an American how many places speak English, and so they. We were in Germany one time, and the funny thing was that we heard this pounding on the ceiling, and it was the people in the theater. There was like a few thousand people in the theater, and they were pounding on the floors because they had put on one of our CDs, and they were singing along like it was this giant Oktoberfest. And we were looking at each other going, well, what songs are we going to sing now? They're playing the goddamn album upstairs.
Wait a minute, Mark, that's unbelievable. So it was a lounge act or a musical act? What was it?
It was my buddy Steven used to write these acoustic original songs, I jumped on the bandwagon with him and started, you know, performing with him and collaborating with him and everything. And it turned into, I remember he was moving to New York in 96 or 97, and he goes, I think I'm gonna do those songs, and I was like, "Oh, that's a terrible idea." And now it's turned into this giant thing. We had a really great run, and Steven still performs here and there. I'm sure we'll have some rocking chair concert thing. We'll get back out there in our 50s, and we'll start doing it again.
So you must have thought, well, this show business thing is easy.
I've been at it for a while.
But that was out of college, right?
No, that was after. Gosh, that was I graduated college.
Oh, that was only 25 years ago.
That was only 25 years ago. You know, and now that I'm 27, yeah. It's a.
You look good for your age.
I feel great.
I will tell you this, Mark. I did not expect you to look so young. Oh. You really are a young man because I've been watching The Finchers, your new show, which is so funny. And you're so good at that character. And you play a character called Uncle Vin. Uh-huh. And, you know, he is one of those guys like Chevy Chase's cousin in Vacation, right?
Yeah. He's definitely Randy Quaid. Hopefully not Randy Quaid right now.
Did you see that Twitter thing he put out with that flashlight under his mouth?
It is the best. It is.
What is happening?
Everybody talks about all these reunion shows. That's the reunion that I want to see. I want to see a Christmas Vacation reunion with Chevy Chase, who's so angry at everybody, and what's his name? Yeah, and then now with
Randy Quaid. You know,
Randy Quaid.
So off the rails. Wait, you describe. Tell the audience what we're talking about.
So, you're gonna have to help me out a little bit with this. He goes on these crazy rants. He goes on these crazy rants, and he's literally playing his character from Independence Day, where he's like this conspiracy theorist. Yeah,
right.
And he goes,
right.
Yeah.
So he puts out a little video, like 30 seconds on Twitter, and he is truly, this is true, folks. You can look at it. You can go to the internet and find this. He has a flashlight under his chin as if you do as a child, right? Mm-hmm. So he's in the dark, but the flashlight is under his chin like he's going to tell a scary, scary, spooky story. And then he uses this growling voice and he starts going off on the government. Can you imitate him? Go ahead. Give it a shot, Mark.
I couldn't even imagine. Do people watch this podcast or do they listen to it?
Oh, they're listening.
So this is not, who cares if we're doing this or not? That I have.
You've got a flashlight under your chin.
An iPhone flashlight. That just makes me look and go, oh, I got to dye my beard. Yeah.
It's the craziest damn video. Anyway, the point is your character on The Finchers is sort of like that. It's a regular family, totally regular family. So it's like Modern Family, regular mom and dad and a girl and a boy. And the kids are preoccupied with their computers. And, you know, it's all happening now. It's like the abnormal family,
exactly.
Right? Or wait,
exactly.
What did they say?
The new abnormal. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah, the new abnormal. And because it is COVID times, right?
Right.
Or it is COVID times, yeah. And so the family, of course, is locked up. But the mother's wacky brother lives out in a yurt or like in a trailer out in the woods, and they have to go visit him. So that's who you play. But it's very funny, actually. There's a lot of good jokes in the show, and the snippets are quite small. So the episodes are only about 4 or 5 minutes long. Is that true?
That's all that I can stay interested in nowadays. So I'm already bored with this podcast. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
It should not be like that. Why? Well, okay.
No,
the point is, it's funny because you can watch them very quickly,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I watched three. I think there's only about three out.
Yeah, I think there's only three out right now, too.
I've watched them all. And anyway, but it is damn funny. The Finchers, you guys, you can find it on YouTube, but you're pushing it on something else,
We're pushing it on thefinchers.com. And then also ViewSonic has it on their on all their platforms. It's a branded content show. So ViewSonic has sponsored the whole thing, and ViewSonic does monitors and projectors, and they're absolutely incredible. They're a company that's been around forever. If we want to go way back to, you know, when we were first getting computers back in the 80s, you could buy a ViewSonic monitor back then, and now it's just like all these crazy like. They're touch screens. They're like 65 inches. They're incredible.
I am so impressed. And it's such an interesting idea. I mean, I've seen branded content before, but basically, you know, this electronics company comes in with a ton of money and a ton of products. And they say, we'll give this production company all this money. And what you got to do is use all of our products in the show.
But that's been the history of entertainment. Branded content has always been, I mean, you know, television was created to sell things. I mean, it was Jack Benny would answer the phone saying Jell-O instead of hello because he wanted to promote Jell-O. He did that. Wow. That was a thing.
That's funny.
You know, and if you watch any movie, any product that's in any movie or any TV show, they are placing it in there for some reason.
No, I get it. But I guess what I'm saying is what makes this interesting is that it's all electronics and that they're all really high scale. Like it looks like some stuff I've never seen before, obviously.
It's top end stuff. And they're making it the best part about it is that they had moved away from selling to the general public and they started selling to all these businesses. And then once this pandemic hit, they were like, oh, we have to make this available to the public at, you know, at things that the public can afford. And so now with like homeschooling and video conferencing and all this stuff and all this working from home, you can do all this stuff with ViewSonic. It's
I'm really impressed. It sounds like we're doing a freaking ad for these people.
I know.
I'm just saying that it is impressive because they've been around a long time, but look at their ingenuity. Look what they're doing. They're crazy. Coming up with ideas. It's fabulous. And the Finchers it's a perfect place for it. It's interesting. It's a nice collaboration. It seems
we're having a lot of fun doing it.
I wonder if they want to put on a game show.
I don't see why not. I mean,
maybe I'll pitch him Story Smash. I'll pitch him my game show.
What usually happens after you get a sitcom. Then they move you to a game show host. You know,
yeah.
I'll take that Richard Karn, Steve Harvey. You know what? Anything
money anytime. Yeah, you better believe it. Yeah, you better believe it. Jane Lynch, Ellen. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna love Story Smash. By the way, we're playing it every Friday night live on Facebook and on YouTube, and it is damn funny. This Friday night's only our third one, and so, but we've been doing it all summer on this horrible thing called Zoom webinar, which I don't even want to talk about. But the point is, now we're on Facebook and YouTube, and it's really cool. Friday nights, you guys, 7 p.m. Pacific time, Story Smash live, no tickets involved. And you will laugh your butt off. We're not going to play on December 25th, Christmas, but we are going to play on January 1st. So you guys, I'm just plugging this right now. Why not? Watch Story Smash live on Facebook and live on YouTube every Friday night under my name, Christine Blackburn, but it's to the public, so you'll find it easily.
I love
that. All
right,
you guys. Yeah, it's so fun. So Mark, I'm so happy you're here and I'm so happy to meet you. I'm just thrilled. Okay. And I can't wait to talk about or to find out about your story because the topic is so intriguing, getting stabbed in Santa Monica.
Ooh.
Jesus, that is just sounds so violent.
I know. And not only Santa Monica, but the Third Street Promenade in Santa Monica.
Oh my God.
The simplest, most loveliest, most, you know.
Suburban, beautiful, urban, but yet suburban kind of a promenade outside with all the shopping malls, all the shopping stores that we know, you know, everything's there. Holy cow. So I can't wait to hear your story. I one time saw a girl get stabbed.
Oh my gosh.
Basically, I'm sitting on my friend's stoop waiting for her to come home. Mm-hmm. And I'm just waiting. So I'm just hanging out on the stoop.
Right.
We had no cell phones then, if you can imagine. So I'm just looking around the neighborhood. It's in the city, but, you know, I'm just gazing around. And all of a sudden, I see this girl standing at the bus stop holding her purse. And I see these two guys get out. Pull up. Two guys pull up. One guy gets out of the passenger door, runs around the car, hits her with like stabs her with something is in his hand. Like, I don't know if it's brass knuckles or there was a knife, but he stabs her. She goes down, he grabs her purse and they take off. And I saw the whole thing.
Wow.
So I run over to her and I hold her in my arms. And anyway, it was really scary. Then the ambulance came, somebody called 911. I screamed, call 911, you know, and somebody did and they came. But here's the thing. Later, I had to go to trial for these guys, right? And by the way, they ended up both getting convicted the same, whether he was driving the car or whether he's the one that stabbed her.
Uh-huh.
She didn't die. Her name was Faith, but she got amnesia, if you can imagine.
What?
She got amnesia, if you can imagine. And it's so strange. So anyway, now we're at the trial, okay? I'm 21 years old. I'm a kid. I'm in college. and I am in school at Duquesne University in the city. I walk downtown. I go into the courthouse, like have on my nice pants and my nice blouse tucked in, and I'm, you know, trying to do the right thing. And I, and then they call me to the witness stand, and I go up and I, and I see what I say, what I saw.
Sure.
I walk back down, I sit in my seat, and I'm like, it's all emotional, and I'm like shaking, and I look down and my zipper was wide open. Thank you. Good night. Is that funny or what? But they each got 8 years in jail. But one was 15, one was 18. But they, I don't know. The point is, it was really sad.
Holy moly. I know. I just felt bad for the stenographer having to write down. How do you type that? How do you type that in shorthand?
All right, you guys, I am so excited to talk to Mark Teich today. By the way, what's the last name Teich? T-E-I-C-H.
T-E-I-C-H. It's German. I'm Scottish and German. And when people look at T-E-I-C-H, they can never pronounce it. And so usually I just tell them, you know, it's like little Teich, T-Y-K-E. But a lot of people look at it and they go, oh, like R-E-I-C-H. And I'm like, no, it's nothing like that.
It's not right. No, it's Teich.
No, it's not the third Teich. It's the third Reich. I don't want to be anywhere near that.
You're so funny.
No.
All right, you guys.
So yeah, we have Chicago family that I grew up in Detroit, but most of my dad's side of the family's from Chicago. They used to own a hotel way back in the day, during like the Devil in the White City time. If you've ever read those Larson.
Book. What's that mean? I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, that's a good book. If you don't know this book, get this book. It's called Devil in the White City, and it's about this serial killer that you know, kills people during the World's Fair in Chicago.
Wow, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, they've been trying to make it into a movie. I think DiCaprio's trying to make it into a movie right now.
Oh my God, that sounds really good. I'm going to watch that sure. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, let's bring you on right now. Let's do your story. All right, you guys, here right now, Mark Teich. He is an actor and just a performer, like you said, forever and ever. And you've been on many, many, many television shows. It was like New Girl, Betrayed, Saving Grace, and now you are on, no, wait, Saving Grace, that is not a television, is it?
No, that's not a television show. That was a short film. I was a Disney Channel guy, so I was on shows like Ant Farm and I'm in the Band and Sweet Life on Deck with Zach and Cody and all of those things.
Fun. I did those
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've been on all the networks, NBC, CBS, Comedy Central, and now The Finchers. It really is good. Head over to thefinchers.com and check that out.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, you're at Teichy, T-E-I-C-H-Y, right?
That's correct. Yeah, Instagram, I'm Mark Teich 111.
Perfect. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Mark Teich.
So I was working down in Santa Monica. When I was in my doing my comedy career, I was touring around a lot. And on those off days that I was back in California, I was a bartender at this bar called Gotham Hall, which was on the 3rd Street Promenade. And it was on the upper level. Now it's a Forever 21. And so on the second level, this place was huge. You never know it was there, but a lot of people went to it. They did a lot of
television. It was kind of a locals place, right?
Yeah, but they also did a lot of TV and film rap parties there. You would go up these stairs and never know it, but to the right was this giant pool hall with like, I have no idea how height works, but 50-foot ceilings and 10 pool tables. And then on the other side, there's this giant lounge and a dance club. And in the back, there's a martini bar. There's a VIP bar. This place was massive. And so, you know, and it was decorated back. They'd never changed the decor. So it looked like Prince threw up in there. So it was all like purple velvet and wrought black iron. And, you know, but it was a good little place to work. And so anyways, the place was about to close down because Forever 21 was coming in. They finally gave him an offer and they wanted to take it. So we're getting rid of booze left and right. We're selling and we're doing all these specials. And it's the most people I've seen in there in a long time. And I'm kind of a career bartender as well. I've had, you know, I've been bartending all over the country. I used to bartend back in New York and a place called Brother Jimmy's, which was like a Coyote Ugly back in the day in the early 2000s. That's another story. I'll tell you sometime when I lit myself on fire. So it's the last night that we're working and I'm working with my pal, Gunner. That's his name. His name is Gunner.
That's awesome.
And so we're back and forth from the register to the thing and everything. And I go to the register to ring something in and I hear this smash behind me and I go, oh God, somebody broke a glass or something like that. I turn around and there's this woman screaming at these two gentlemen. And there's a little bit of broken glass and a spilled drink and blah, blah, blah. And she is screaming at these two guys. And I'm going to get a little more descriptive about the people right now. There's a white woman yelling at two like full-on Latino gangbangers, like Latin kings, gray neck tattoos, teardrop eyes, teardrop tattoos from the side. They've been at the bar. And the bar is packed.
And two bartenders
at our bar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will give myself credit. We were pretty good bartenders. Mm-hmm. And there were four other bars in the place. And then her boyfriend, who she is a head taller than.
Oh boy.
And she is in these guys' faces and this guy standing next and her boyfriend standing next to her is just looking and seeing his whole life flash in front of his eyes. And so I try to like quell the situation. And I call for security where we don't have that much security because everybody's kind of quitting because it's the end of the whole cycle of the restaurant. And I finally see one of my security guards like stumble by because he's drunk. He's probably been getting, drinks at some other bar. So finally I jump over the bar. I put my hands on the guys and I go, okay, calm down. Everybody calm down. I'll get you some free drinks. It's the last night. It's not that big of a deal. Let's just everybody calm down. And as I'm saying that, she jumps over my shoulder to try to get at them. Like, you bleep, bleep, you son of a blah. And she's just going over. And as she's doing this, the two bangers are stone-faced. They're completely stone-faced. He takes her face with his hand and just slowly pushes it back.
Oh,
and as an outsider seeing that, it was hilarious. It was really kind of funny because she was so aggro and they were so calm. So she was like, you son of a, just kind of pushed back. And I'm trying not to laugh now. And I have my hands on this guy's like, just, I could feel the muscles under his shirt. And I turn back to her and I have my right hand on his chest and I reach out to her and I say, everybody calm down. I'll get you some drink tickets. Everything's going to be fine. And then everything like car wreck slow-mo happens.
Oh my God.
Here we go. All of a sudden something happens and I all of a sudden I see my hand and I see something go into my hand and something come out of my hand. And then I look down and I go, well, maybe she caught me with her nail or something like that. But no, she's pulled out a 7.5-inch switchblade out of her purse, stabbed me through my hand and probably into that guy's chest.
Oh,
and
God.
So you know how your body goes into shock. You don't know what happens. And you see something, but you don't believe it.
Right.
So my hand goes down and I look at it. And this is how I handle the situation. I go, I turned into Will Ferrell. I go, everybody cool out. And I run to the kitchen. Leave them. I leave them completely. And I'm looking at my hand and I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. And it's just a little kind of gash on the top of my hand. I was like, oh, she just scratched me. And I run into the kitchen. And I put my hand under some water and I go, flinch a little bit, but it doesn't hurt. And then my manager, who's 5 years younger than me and has been terrified of me his whole life, it comes in and he goes, "Hey, I heard something on the radio." And I was like, "Where the hell have you been? Everybody's doing that." And I was like, "These people are fighting in the blood. I think there's a knife in the blood." And all the blood rushes out of his face. And I look back down at my hand and it looks like water is going into my hand and blood is pouring out the bottom of my
hand. Oh, God. Oh.
And I look at the kitchen guys who haven't been working all night. They're just getting their hourly. I go, "Give me a napkin." And they hand me like a cocktail napkin. I go, "Give me a goddamn cloth napkin so I can wrap my hand up." So I wrap my hand up. We're walking back down. I grab the manager. We're walking back down the hallway that separates the club and the pool hall. The pool hall is where she stabbed me. And he goes, "We got to find these people." I go, "I don't think we're going to find these people." I go, "The girl had a knife and the guys were clearly like bangers and they don't want any trouble." And I said, "The last time I saw the guys, they were right here. And the last time I saw the girl," and I stopped because she was still at the bar finishing a drink. And I go, "Hey." And she turns around and she's like, "What?" Like every, like, what is that, vocal drag or something like that? It's like that Kardashian sounding. She's like, "What?" And I go, "You get downstairs right now." She's like, "Why?" And I go, "You stabbed me." And she goes, "Ugh." And I go, "Get downstairs right now." And I walk her downstairs and her boyfriend's kind of like, what happened? I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" And I walk her downstairs and, you know, I don't know if you've ever been down to Santa Monica.
The cops
in Santa Monica are awesome, but they're very like Mayberry. They're very like, you know, and so I see them all the time and they go, "Hey, Tyke, what's going on?" Because a lot of people call me by my last name. And I go, "That girl just stabbed me." And they go, "What?" And I took the napkin off my hand and blood goes skeet, skeet out of it. It's like, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, do you want us to take care of it?" And I go, "Yes, I want you to take care of it." So they take her off to the side. And I am standing by the front door. They walk her over to the side. And like Fargo-esque Mayberry cops, they pull the knife out of her purse. And they're like, "Did she stab you with this?" And I was like, "The giant knife with my blood all over it? Yeah. Yeah. That's it. You found it. Look who's good at Clue." And so I'm standing there and they go, "Well, you probably want us to press charges. You want to press charges. And do you need an ambulance?" And I was like, "Yes, I need an ambulance."
Oh my gosh.
And so, the doorman looks at me and he goes, and I know that people are just listening to this right now, but my doorman goes, "You okay? Does it hurt?" And I go, And I'll do this for you because you can see me right now.
Right.
I go, "Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. It still works. Everything still works."
And you're waving.
He goes like this. He goes, "Why isn't your thumb moving?" And I went, "Oh." And I couldn't move my thumb. She had stabbed me. She had cut all the tendons in my thumb. So I will tell you this right now. If you are a person, a human in this world that has never felt something like that, where you can't move a part of your body and your brain's trying to tell you to do it.
Yeah.
I'm moving my arms right now my brain's telling my arms to move it. But when your brain tells your arms to move your thumb and you can't move it, you have no idea what's going on. Like the iris starts going in, you start having a panic attack.
Yeah.
You're pushing down because the only thing you know how to do is like, hold your bladder, yeah, hold your, yeah. You know, and so you're going,
trying to move it.
And it's not happening. It's the craziest feeling in the whole world.
It's your right hand. Aren't you right-handed?
It's my right hand. Yeah. So they had to, I don't even know if you can see it, but there's a big scar. They had to open up my wrist to work on all the tendons. But the crazy thing was when I got to the hospital, let me end this. So right when I found out that I couldn't move my thumb, I was leaving the next in like 4 days because I just got my first movie. I was working on the huge hit Leatherheads.
Yay!
Yeah, you know, everybody saw that movie. It was big as the Avengers.
That was 2008, right?
Yeah. So as soon as I figured out that I couldn't move my thumb, I turned into the biggest actory diva queen, and I'm yelling at her now. I'm like, if you ruin this opportunity for me, I just booked a move. And I'm like, I'm just spouting off something.
It's so LA to start screaming about your job.
Yeah, about my job. I'm going to be working with George Clooney, and if you ruin this for me, you know. And so they take me, and the doctor kind of temporarily sews me up. And he goes, I want you to see a hand specialist. And I go, yeah. And he goes, you're not going to be able to see one for like 6 days. I go, what? He goes, yeah, they're all at a conference in San Diego. And I went, how are the hand specialists? Why would I get stabbed? And then they're at a, okay. And so they finally work on me. And I remember the night that I went into surgery. And I had this disease growing up called scleroderma. So you can see my hands. They're little, I have like little bulldoggy fingers and hands and everything. They're not attractive hands. I would never be a hand mop.
Yeah.
And I told
the doctor. Neither for that matter. But anyway.
I told the doctor, I said, hey, doc, when you're sewing me up, you know, have a couple. He goes, what? I go, when you're sewing up my hand, give me a nice big scar on my hand. He goes, why? I go, so when I like slap it down on the bar, some girl will be like, ooh, what happened to you? And I was like, yeah, I got stabbed, you know? And he's like, I'm not doing that. I go, come on. Let's do it. I'm giving you, where do I sign? Where do I sign? I'll sign it. I'll sign with my left hand because this one's not working, but I'll sign. And he wouldn't do it. And then when I woke up, I had this giant scar on my wrist that I was not told about. So I said, I don't have the stab scar. I have the kill myself scar. I go, this is not the pity that I want when I slam my hand down on the bar trying to meet women.
Yeah, you don't want to look like you've slit your wrists.
Exactly, exactly. Oh,
okay, so Mark, you never saw the Latino gangbanger guys again?
Never again.
They they were gone.
I do think two things. One, if it went through his chest, we're now blood brothers and I'm now an honorary gang member.
Yeah.
And two, if he's still alive, which I hope he is, someday I will ride through some neighborhood and they'll recognize me.
Yeah.
And then I will get all this recognition for
there was nobody ever called 911. That kind of surprises me.
No, because everybody was kind of partying.
And then when you said, let's go downstairs, what did you mean go downstairs?
Well, you couldn't go right outside. It was on the second level. I'm sorry. It was on the second level.
I know, and I'm picturing that. So you're going down the escalator with your hand in, you know.
Yes. Yes.
And you're going down the escalator. And then did you know the cops would be there?
No, it just all happened. They happened to be walking. Happened to be patrolling.
What were you going to do then?
I had no idea.
You were going to take her downstairs, and then were you going to call 911 then?
I was going to take her to my door guy and probably, you know, call 911. I knew that they could hold her at that point in time. My manager was there. He was no help, though.
I just didn't see that coming, that the girl is the one who stabbed you. And she wasn't trying to stab you. She was trying to stab that guy, right? That's the idea. And your hand was in the way.
And that's the funny thing, because my comedy partner, Stephen Lynch, rips on me for having tiny hands. He goes, that girl had a whole chest to stab, yet she still got you in your little tiny hands.
Bullseye. Like, oh my gosh. That is a wild story. And then, because I had a skiing accident and my right arm, you know, I did the ligament surgery in my thumb, mm-hmm. and that took a long time because it was like a cast and a cast and a cast, and then mm-hmm. physical therapy, et cetera. So how long did you have that on your hand?
I had that on my hand for a while. It was probably a few months. I mean, they had this crazy contraption where they had like shoved a needle through the top of my finger through my nail with a rubber band attached to it. I was like, what archaic, you know, exercise thing. This is like I'm getting leached or bled by a barber back in the 1600s. It was crazy.
Like something in the the Tower of London or the dungeon, the dungeons yeah. they have in London, the London yeah. dungeon. That's what it's called. So
I got so much shit though, because I went on to the set and I was playing this reporter for that Leatherheads movie, and I showed up and I was like, they're going to fire me. Oh, they're going to fire me.
Yeah.
And so I was wearing kind of like this flesh colored thing over my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of. And with this brace on it. And Clooney would always be like, all right, we're going to start on Mark's hands at the typewriter. Oh shit. We can't even start on his hands because somebody got stabbed. But it was
so damn funny.
Yeah. We had a good time.
Is he that jocular, as it were, on set all the
time?
He's the best.
He's awesome. We were very, very lucky. It was me, a guy named Michael Malley, who's on tons of stuff.
Yeah, he was on the sitcom. And, I forget, but yeah, he's big.
Yeah, and then another guy named Christian Stolte, who's on Chicago Fire now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was the three of us kind of playing these wacky reporters on this thing, and we were there for weeks and weeks and weeks. We're barely in the movie. We're a mouse farts and you're done.
Wow.
But we had a blast on set.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We go out to dinners. And yeah, we had a really good time. He's a good dude.
I've heard only good things about him for sure. Yeah. One time here in LA, I saw him twice in 1 week. And on the Ooh. Second time, I know, the first time was at Dantana's, which, you know, I've only been there like four times. But this one time in one room, I shit you not, was George Clooney. And then I go into the other room, the dining room, and Johnny Depp was there. I shit you not. It was a double celebrity sighting. It was crazy. But then like 4 days later, I am in the valley at a sushi restaurant and George Clooney's there. I shit you not. And I made eye contact with him. And Mark, for 1 second, he knew that he saw me the other night too. It was awesome. that's my George Clooney love story.
I love it. He's a good dude. I gave him it was funny, right? He was starting the Men Who Stare at Goats after that, and I happened to bump into him, and he came up to me and he's like, what, are you looking for another job? I was like, no, I don't want to be in that goat movie. I'm good, pal.
That's hilarious. That's so funny. Yeah. Did you hear that he recently gave like 20 of his friends $1 million each?
He can with that tequila company.
Oh,
it's crazy how much money he's making.
What he's kind of tequila stuff. Company? What is that?
It's Casa Dores. He's Casa Amigo.
Oh, I
or,
see.
Casa Amigo. Yeah.
Yeah.
He and Randy Gerber.
Yeah.
They bought this tequila company and they are billionaires now.
Wow. Right? Wow.
And well, you can quote me on that.
That's amazing. Yeah. George Clooney said, you know, I have this money now. Why should I wait? I'm going to give it to them when I pass away anyway. I may as well see them enjoy it.
Love
and
it.
So I took 20 of my friends and I gave them each a free ticket to a Zoom show.
Ooh.
And, yeah. Well, you know, I'm a giver, Mark. At the end of the day, I'm a giver.
Right. I bought all my friends passes to AMC theaters.
Oh, that's
and now, yeah. Yeah. They can't go now. So
you're so damn funny. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been really fun. And I feel like I've known you for a long time.
It's my pleasure. This was a lot of fun. Thanks.
A lot of fun. And you're so talented.
It's my ridiculous story.
Yeah. I really encourage people to go over to thefinchers.com. Right? TheFinchers.com.
Yeah. And check out the show.
It's very funny. I really hope it goes somewhere because it's slick and it's funny. And with that company, ViewSonic, behind you guys, like, obviously, they're going to make it look the best it can look. So it's just a really interesting collaboration. You're lucky. I'm glad you're on that.
It looks incredible. Yeah, cool. we had a lot of fun doing it, and there's going to be some surprises coming out pretty soon too. So
good. Oh, good, good, good. And I like the kids on it too. The kids aren't like saccharine sweet or anything. I like that.
They're great. They're awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, you guys. Listen, one more time on behalf of Mark Tyke, you got to head over to Twitter and tell him that you liked his story. He's over there at Tyke, T-E-I-C-H-Y. Yes?
That's right.
And then follow me over there as well, of course, at Storyworthy. All right, you guys. One more time on behalf of the very talented actor, Mark Tyke. Thank you so much, friend. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
My name is Christine Blackburn Singh. Make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.